T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is a Friday. I know that some of you work the weekends. I used to work the weekends all the time, but still, it's, you know, even if when you work the weekends, it's a Friday. I think maybe it's just because, you know, when you work the weekends, the bosses are usually out of the office, so it doesn't feel so much like work. Anyway, welcome to it. Friday, Hugh. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody had a wonderful and prosperous Valentine's Day. I hope everybody got exactly what they wanted, and they had a great time. I hope they did all that yesterday.
I had a piece of pizza.
Awesome. Was it good pizza?
Yes. She wanted to go to Johnny's, and so I had a salad and a piece of pizza.
I'm a fan of the simple things, man. I really am. I really am. And I think it means more when you're in a situation where it's not so much about the monetary things. That's not saying that the monetary things aren't important, because they are. I like nice stuff. But I think it means more. It's more heartfelt when it's something that you know, like the little cardboard hearts you were talking about, like cutting out yesterday. I think that's pretty cool. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of funny because we were remarking that Johnny's was a little slow last night.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they were running a special, and they were saying, well, you know, right now you can get a large for, you know, the X amount of dollars less than, and I, oh. And I was, and we were trying to figure it out. Well, you know why? Is because most people don't take their honey to the pizza joint on Valentine's. They usually...
Yeah. I mean, that's probably one of those places that probably won't get that much foot traffic because people are trying to do it big. You know, a lot of places that are swankier, probably with full reservations. I'm pretty sure STK's, places like that, Dantana's, they probably were filled to the rim with folks.
Which is one of the questions I asked her, was, yeah, is Valentine's Day the number one day in terms of high-end restaurants, in terms of volume? Is it the biggest day they have every year? And it made me think that maybe it is, because there's not a day that everybody else celebrates, you know, in unison. It's not like, you know, I mean, there's birthdays or there's, you know, big events in life that happen, but for everybody at once, because the other holidays are usually pretty much, you know, July 4th is a picnic holiday. January 1st is a drinking holiday. Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving are home holidays. So, I mean, when it comes to going out for a big meal, I think yesterday was Christmas for those high-end restaurants. You probably couldn't get a reservation to get in a nice place.
Yeah, that's probably the case. You know, a lot of people like to do it big. That's that one day that I can think of that is probably the hardest to get a reservation that day, because people make them months out in advance. And plus, a lot of people get married on that day. A lot of people would propose.
Did anybody see anybody propose at the Hawks game last night? Yeah. Well, there may have been some fans divorcing the Hawks after that game. Well, if, you know, based on your thing, it's like, you know, I understand President Carter's here. Really, where is he? Right there.
On the kiss cam.
I don't know. Man, and then you lose to the Tankerbockers. I mean, come on.
But Coach Pierce summed it up well. He said you come off of that emotional win where all the fans were in the building. Then you had to come back and you play. I mean, they didn't have any energy. They didn't have any energy. And a lot of guys were already at the All-Star game. They were already at the break. They thought that they had already made it to the break.
Yeah.
No, I get it. No, I'm with you. I'm not. This is not me condoning what they did. That's not what I'm saying. But that's what it looked like. Yeah.
14-0. That's when I turned it over. It was 14-0. I went, oh, okay. The Knicks have won 11 games all year. Three of them.
And they were on an 18-game losing streak? 19-game losing streak? Yeah.
And you're at home and you lose to them by 15.
I did not see that coming.
And they come into your building and beat you by 15, where you're never in the game, really, ever.
They were on All-Star break.
Yeah, we're on All-Star break. John Collins had 8 points and one rebound.
Yeah, that was like that's the one thing that stood out to me the most was that he was not on. He probably was tired from practicing all those dunks, you know, getting ready for the dunk contest. I mean, but you know, that's a young team. No excuses. You're a professional at this point, at this time in the year. You are a professional. I just didn't think that it would be the way that it was. I honestly thought that they were going to handle their business, especially coming off of that emotional win against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. The other day. I just thought they were going to come out and play. But, yeah, they went on vacation one day too soon.
Yeah, they went out. And for the Hawks, you can't do that. You can't get away with that. I mean, well, I guess you can now. You know, this is a learning – everything's a learning experience in year one with Lloyd Pierce and you know, in a few minutes, we're going to kind of grade the Hawks and talk about what we think of them at the break. But the fact is that they're just a growing young team, and so I think that as they grow, they learn things. And this year, if you want to learn something, look, there's a net positive out of last night, believe it or not. And the net positive is the Hawks only remain 3.5 games ahead of Memphis in the race at the bottom here. The Hawks are in the number 5 slot. Memphis is in the number 6. And frankly, Hugh, I don't really want to fall out of the top 5. I mean, at this point, I want to get as many – I'm not asking them to tank and to try to lose as many games in the last 24 coming out of the
break.
Yeah,
but you're trying to get as many ping pong
right.
balls
I'm
as you possibly can.
I'm still trying to get as best – because you still have a chance of getting the number 1 pick, right? I mean,
yeah,
so
– I mean, there's a possibility.
I mean, you don't want to get too good. I mean, they – you don't want too many wins where you're going to
yeah, but you can't.
Cost yourself
that, I mean,
you know, ping
that,
pong balls.
Like, I would look at it like this, John. There's not too many gimmies in this season of basketball. That was a gimme. I think that game should have been a gimme.
You would think. I mean, you would think that – but that's this team, isn't it, in a way? I mean, look who they've beaten lately. You know, when we talk about some of the teams they've managed to knock off. You know, the Clippers, Oklahoma City, Philadelphia, the Lakers – and then they go out and they lose to teams like they can't hang with the Hornets to save their life. They can't hang with the Knicks to save their life. That's what this team is. I mean, it's a team.
And this
that's going
was a
to
different
be,
team. This was a different team than the one that beat them at the beginning,
beginning
of the
year, right?
Yeah.
And so you know they rise and you know this is a very typical of young teams rising and lowering themselves to the competition that they're facing on any given night. And that's something that's learned to you. I mean, you have to learn to dictate a game, and they don't dictate games. They just try to. You know, they try to get into the game, get into the flow of the game, match the rhythm of the game, and bring energy. They don't go out there with the idea of, we are going to dictate and you're going to have to do it. Because you know this. It is true in any sport, Hugh. If you are that team, you walk out on the field and say, I mean, your quarterback or your point guard can say, hey, this is what we're going to do. Stop us. And you're going to dictate the game. And the other team has to react to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but they're not. They're definitely not that team. No.
Not that team. So it was to be expected, I guess, you know, being as young as they are. Going to be a busy weekend ahead. Again, we'll grade the Hawks here in a few minutes later in the hour. We're also going to have Deshaun Tate on the show, talk a lot about college basketball because we're now winding towards March Madness. It's around the corner here. We'll have Deshaun join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Later in the program, Larry McReynolds from Fox to talk about Daytona 500. He'll join us from down in Florida. And Chip Carey will also join us from Florida as they get ready for spring training for pitchers and catchers for the Braves. Report tomorrow. Tomorrow's pitchers and catchers, Hugh. I mean, look at that.
And we still have a bunch of free agents out there that aren't signed yet. Doesn't it start? Wait, pitchers and catchers today, right?
I think it's tomorrow.
You mean they? But they report today, correct?
I don't know. It's either today or tomorrow, and it doesn't.
If it start, I would say this: if they start tomorrow, they report today. They would have to. because that makes sense. Because you got to come, you got to move in.
Maybe
you
know they report. I mean? Maybe they report today and start tomorrow.
It has to be that. It has to be. Because I mean, it'd be kind of weird to drop all your stuff off and then get ready to just walk out there and start practicing.
Yeah, no, the Braves do. They do. They report today and they work out tomorrow. That's. I was looking at February 16 and AT was looking at February 15. So we're both right. I mean, they do report today. Pitchers, catchers report today, and then the first workout is tomorrow for the Braves.
Position
players report next. What's the 20th? Next Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And then the first full team workout will be next Thursday on the 21st. All right. So we got it. And for this year for the Braves, spring training is going to be a little bit different because you know they've gotten to the point where you know they always come home and play a game,
mm-hmm.
and then you know right before the season starts, and either they go out on the road or they would stay at home to start the season. This year, what they're going to do is they're going to break camp in Orlando. They're going to come here. They're going to play an exhibition game, and I forget who they're playing. I'd have to go back and look. Mm-hmm. They're going to play one game at SunTrust Park, and then they're going to go back to Florida and actually play one more game down in Florida where they're going to open their new ballpark.
Their new Swanky Digs.
And that'll be the first game at the new place, which is now over on the Gulf Coast of Florida. So they've moved all the way over the state, okay? They used to be for a long time. They were on the Atlantic side in West Palm Beach. That's mm-hmm. where I know the Braves to be. Then they moved to Orlando, where they've been for a number of years in the middle of the state. Now they're moving over into the Tampa, south of Tampa area, and they're going to be along the Gulf Coast. And so they're going to come here, play a game, and then they're going to go back to Florida and play one game in their brand new spring training facility and then fly back out. And cool. So, yeah. They're going to break in and debut that new place, which is going to be really nice. And I'm really anxious. I want to go down there next year and see it. I'm going to try and make it happen.
Why are you going
to go this year? Well, the first game for the one game?
Why not?
I think, you know, because I...
That's a nice little road trip, but that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround. And so they're going to break in the new place. My understanding is, the only reason, you know, they're still building it. This is why they had to kind of do it that way, because it's not ready yet. I think they would have loved to have been in it for spring training this year, but it's just not ready yet. But my understanding is it's state of the art, which is going to be a big improvement over what it used to be because mm-hmm. when they were in West Palm, it was just basically a minor league stadium that had kind of rickety stands. And, it wasn't exactly a palatial estate, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Now they build these things. These spring training facilities that they build for these teams who are...
They can rival like their regular stadiums at their home.
Man,
the home
they're really definitely. Nice. I mean, they're really nice. And then they use them all year long for extended spring training, for Gulf Coast League teams and whatnot. And so they are just used for spring training because it used to be what teams did was they just rented a college stadium or a minor league stadium for the spring. That's all they did.
No, this is their own digs. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. So that'll be a big event this weekend. Daytona's going to be going on. I've never been to Daytona. Have you ever been to Daytona?
No, I have not. I've been to a few races, but nothing like Daytona. Haven't been to Talladega yet either. So, yeah, I need to get back up on my race game. It's just been kind of hard, you know, since I've been here. Close as I am to all these great race venues, just haven't had a chance to get it done. Mm-hmm. Have not had a chance to get it done.
It is going to be a busy weekend for you and for us. I mean, here it is, February, counting down to the NFL Combine. There's a lot of golf going on. Tigers playing this weekend, though it rained like crazy again in L.A. Oh, did you see, anybody see the forecast for next week? What did they say, 10 inches of rain? Rain. Every day next week. Lots and lots of rain. Here. What is on your plate this weekend?
Of the Falcons, Hawks, and Atlanta United Sports Radio. 92.9, the game.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9, the game.
Sports Radio, 92.9, the game. Congratulations to our own Hugh Douglas on his entrance into the Black Football College Hall of Fame.
Hugh Douglas's return to Philadelphia has been so smooth, it's as though he never left. His icon status went unchanged in his absence.
All through his career, especially in Philadelphia, Hugh Douglas was just a beast coming off the edge, always a problem. The one thing that I remember most about him, his motor.
You know what the great part about this is? Everybody accepts me like I continue to be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles.
What Douglas desires most is a championship ring. Just ask opposing quarterbacks. Hugh Douglas usually gets what he wants.
Can you dig it, baby?
Congratulations to you from all of us at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do I got to start introing the show differently after tomorrow?
Nah. Now, you know, it's weird, man. As we get closer to this
Hall of Famer and all that kind of stuff.
You know, as we get closer to it, man, you know, I have some friends coming to town and everything. I'm supposed to meet with my the AD from my school today. And it's just, it feels a little weird.
You got to be getting excited,
I
would think.
I am. I'm more so, you know what it is? A little bit of anxiety. Because this morning I woke up and I was like, man, let me go see which suit I'm about to wear. You know what I'm saying, AT? Because, anybody, they know, like, people that wear suits every day don't have to deal with this. But as a guy who, you know, suits are tailor-made, you get your suits tailor-made, man, and your biggest concern is, like, if you ain't warm in a while, do them things still fit? Because you know what I'm saying? Running around in pajamas all day, you're like, boy, I don't want to get up in this piece and this thing fitting snug and I'm looking all crazy. So this morning I got up. And you know, the first if you're having trouble wearing your suits, the first way you know is the shirts. Cause if the shirts don't fit, like if they tight, cause you know how they get them tapered. The shirts are tapered for you.
Right, right.
And if they don't fit, then I was like, man, I gotta make some moves. You know what I mean? So I got up this morning and I went and checked out the shirts and I was like, oh, I'm good. I'm good. So I'm like, yeah, we can do this.
Now, didn't we not talk about this at least 2 months ago?
Yeah, we did.
No, and you wait till the day before the day?
But you know what, though? I work out. I have been kind of, you know, going back and forth because we're going through a little bit, you know, transition, trying to find a new trainer. And I was like, you know, I've been working out, but you just never know. Like, you know, when you throw that suit on, man, it might be kind of But it's the shirt. Like the shirts, when they start to bulge a little bit, you're like, damn, this might be kind of, you might look like a bear on a unicycle in this situation. But no, I was good. The shirts fit. I was cool. Oh, the pants, like if the shirt fits, the pants should fit because the belly, you know what I mean? If the belly's hanging, then that means that the pants, it might be a little bit of an issue. Like if the shirt's good, the pants should be good because they're tapered. Like you know how they do it where they taper it on the waist where you put the pants. So I should be good.
All right. So this is tomorrow night at the College Football Hall of Fame. Do you have an idea of how the evening's going to go? Have they told you yet? Have you seen a rundown?
No, I got the rundown and they said, you know, I know tonight is like a meet and greet tonight, and I'm probably going to wear like a blazer and you know some jeans. There's some casual tomorrow. They have some things going on, but it's kind of like I've really just been – I haven't even really looked at the itinerary. They've been calling me and telling me because it's just still kind of surreal. It's a little surreal right now.
Well, you're going in with some greats like Emerson Boozer. We talked to John Taylor yesterday. You have Tim Newsom, the former Cowboy, who's going into the Hall of Fame, and there's going to be a ton of stargazing. Now, for me, being a college football fan – this is really cool because I'm a college football guy.
Yeah, it's gonna be kind of weird, man.
It's gonna be star after star after star after star. Yeah, that's gonna be there.
It's gonna be, you know, Doug Williams is gonna be there. As a matter of fact, when I found out, when I made the premature announcement on the air about the fact that you know I was going in it, I had to take the announcement down, and Doug called me and was like, "Yeah, you can put it up now, Hugh." He was like, I was like, my bad, dog. I didn't mean to do that. But yeah, it's something, man. When you think about it, when I think about it, the more and more I think about it, I'm just like, wow, this is about to happen. So yeah, it's a little nervous. What you mean?
Yes, we will have it on videotape. There'll be photos.
Oh, you talking about?
You better not. You're gonna hear me say, suck it up.
I ain't gonna cry. It's gonna be a little different. It's gonna be a little nervous. Like, and that's funny. I'm like, why are you nervous, fool? You work on the radio. You work on the air. You've been on television, fool. Why are you nervous? Because I am. Because I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. Yes, I don't know what's gonna happen.
A Super Bowl. in the Super Bowl.
No, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
And he's nervous about a little meeting at the College Football Hall of Fame.
No, because they like what they do. From what I've heard, they go and they get foot like when you used to play. They go and ask people for different stuff about you.
Footages.
They ask for footages. And I don't know what it's going to be. And it might be something that I'd be like, oh, I remember that. And, you know, because, you know, when I played in college, we was on that BCR.
Yeah.
We had the BCR. So I'm like, I don't know if anybody got none of that BCR tape.
But, I mean,
we'll see.
You know, to be enshrined in the Black College Hall of Fame is one thing. And then to have it move back to your home state of Ohio, Hugh.
Yeah, that's going
to
be something different.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be – I mean, you could be able to go home and then go to Canton and – You know, I mean, you'll be right there. I mean, granted, I mean, I think you ought to be in the other Canton Hall, but, you know.
No, I mean, it's going to be cool, man. You know what? It was funny because last night my son asked me, he said, Dad, what color tie are you going to wear? Because I guess he wants to coordinate the ties. And I'm like, I don't know. And even my ex said, hey, you want me to pick out your clothes for you? I was like, just like old times.
I mean, I know
like,
you.
I think I got.
You
got to
go team color over frat this time, don't you?
I think keep it simple, blue or black. I mean, you know, blue or black. I don't know. I always wear something that says Phi Beta Sigma, so it's not like I have to wear, you know, my fraternity colors. But I don't know. We'll see. Because I still got a little bit of time to figure out what I'm going to wear. I still got a little bit of time.
Tick tock.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, hell, it's just like I do at work. I wait to the absolute last minute. to do whatever. So, I mean, it's no, you know, I think I work better under pressure. So, yeah.
Yeah, have, yeah, I'm right, 32 hours.
Yeah, I got.
Yeah, we're going to bring out the clock from 24 on you.
Yeah, basically.
That is tomorrow night at the College Football Hall of Fame. And, of course, when we get back from the long weekend, and, yes, let's remind everybody, long weekend, President's Day on Monday, we'll certainly have a lot of stories to tell about this. It's going to be really cool. I mean, and so many big names are going to be in town. I mean, they were for the Super Bowl, and now – here they are again for this event tomorrow night. And didn't you say, like, I mean, it's going to be because – are you presented by somebody? You said – Arthur, you said Joe Namath is going to be there because of Emerson Boozer's was
health.
A running – was he and Matt Snell were the running backs for Joe Namath in that Super Bowl III. So he's going to be – I mean, does somebody
– I think that's a special circumstance. Like, okay. I said, John, I don't really know. I don't really know because it's been real – kind of hush-hush. It really has. And I, you know, I'm not the one that, you know, some people might call and ask a lot of questions. That's not what I do. So I'm going to walk in there and I'm going to be, you know, probably just as surprised as everybody else, to be totally honest. And be sitting there squirming. If it's something that I haven't seen in a while, I'm going to be sitting there squirming a little bit. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's because I'm wondering if it'll be a little, this is your life.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably it'll be a little bit of that. And it's going to be, you know, probably ask a couple questions that I probably weren't prepared for. So you might want to get that edit button out because it might get a little, you know, might get a little weird. But we'll see.
I won't be there working. Don't look at me when you say the edit button.
It might be a little weird.
I'm there chilling, supporting.
I'll be like, Daryl, dumb button.
So that'll be a big event tomorrow night. And the station is certainly celebrating alongside Hugh in his induction into the and when we say Canton, the Black College Hall of Fame is part of the College Football Hall of Fame, if you haven't heard this, here in Atlanta, but they're going to be moving that portion of the Hall of Fame, the Black College Hall of Fame, to Canton, Ohio, into a new building alongside the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, which is kind of a cool little thing, too. But, of course, Atlanta loses that, and that's a shame because, you know, but I understand what they're doing. It makes perfect sense. So Canton's going to be there, and that'll be, I think, next year, right? I mean, I think you're the
last. You know what?
You may be the last class because they're building it now.
Yeah, but they're going to always, from what I've heard, they're going to always have the induction down here.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, it's always going to be here. It's always going to be here in Atlanta because the offices, I do believe, they're here in Atlanta. What is it, 230 Peachtree Street? Mm-hmm. I think it's at 230 Peachtree Street, to be totally honest.
So, I mean, are you going to get a chance to watch any of the All-Star game and stuff? I mean, All-Star Saturday night is going to be.
I watch the slam dunk. I got DVR.
Yeah.
I get my DVR on,
yeah,
and I watch it.
And then Sunday's the Daytona, you know.
I mean, I don't plan on – you know what's funny? A couple of my frat brothers called me and said, hey, man, we're going to probably hang out after the fact. I didn't plan on doing that. I might hang out for a little while, might go get a cigar or something, but that's not too much, not going to do too much. Because I still, you know, you still have to get in. It's still work weekend for us, to be technical. It's still one of those weekends where you got to get ready. You got to see what's going on with the All-Star game.
We don't work on Monday.
Yeah, but it's still, you got to see what's going on. I got to watch the Daytonas and stuff of that nature, of that ilk. No, when I say work weekend, I mean I'm not going to, you know, not going straight home. But, you know, I mean, still got to watch some sports and whatnot.
Well, I tried to watch the golf yesterday, but all the rain out in California kind of put a kibosh on that because Tiger's playing against Phil this week. And, you know, I mean, since Phil won last week, you know, and Tiger, you know, I mean, starting to look at Tiger and Phil, and you thought they were gone. Now, think about this. What was the last big event of last year, the last big event? It was the Tour Championship here in Atlanta. Guess who won? Tiger. And then last week, guess who won? Phil. Those two guys, they're still here. It's not like Rory's winning or Jordan's winning. I mean, it's
making
Tiger and Phil.
Making a little bit of noise.
Ricky Fowler's already won this year. So, I mean, Matt Kuchar's won and he refuses to pay his caddies. I mean, look at this. I mean.
Yeah, that's a strange story. Yeah, that was a strange story.
Yesterday. Yeah, he's taking more heat over that. I mean, more and more.
Yeah,
and more.
I mean, public opinion. The court of public opinion is a brutal one.
It's
no
not going away.
No question about it. Yeah, no question about that.
Not going away.
No question about that.
Who doesn't want to interview his caddy this week, you know, and say, hey, if he wins, what do you expect?
Well, I will say this. Anybody that he gets a rent-a-caddy from, they're going to make sure that that the next contract is going to be in detail. It has to be. I think that's where we got caught up at, because I'm thinking from hearing the story, the rent-a-caddy thought that he was going to do the right thing. You can't assume anything. You cannot assume anything. Especially when you're dealing with somebody that you haven't really dealt with for on a long term, you have to make sure that you cross all your T's and dot all your I's. You have to. And that's what – it doesn't sound like he did that. And he went into it thinking that he was going to be a gentleman and do with the gentlemanly thing, and he didn't.
Mentioned it's a big weekend for the Atlanta Hawks. Hugh goes into the Hall of Fame for the Hawks. Trey Collins – I did it. Well, we'll just call him Trey Collins. How about that? Trey Young and John Collins – go to Charlotte today, where the All-Star festivities are underway. Trey's going to be in the Rising Stars game alongside John, and then Trey's going to be in the Skills Challenge, and then tomorrow night, John Collins is going to be in the Slam Dunk. What kind of a grade do you give the Hawks at the midseason? Good, bad, and ugly. We'll give you our grades to take a look at where they are, not midseason, but at the All-Star break. Let me put it to you that way. We'll give you our grades next as we continue on the morning show with John and the Hall of Famer. Well, I can't say that yet. You're not there yet. Not there yet. On Sports Radio 99 The Game. Morning show on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Hope you're having a good drive in on this Friday.
It's Friday.
Ahead of a long weekend, President's Day on Monday and whatnot. Hawks now head off to the break here. I think we like to think that All-Star breaks here are mid-season, but we're 58 games in. We're exactly 2/3 of the way through, 58 games down and 24 games.
Wait a minute, the All-Star game has been pushed
back, though.
Not exactly
2/3, actually more than 2/3.
The All-Star game has been put, well, I guess because of the way the weekend fell, correct? Because I know this, but it's always felt like on the right around the time of the 11th, mm-hmm. or somewhere around there. Because I remember being at trying to get to the All-Star game when my son was being born. And I remember that being on the weekend, but I know that, you know, it changes every year. It changes every day, every year, so that's what it is. But it just felt like it's a lot later this year.
Well, it's because the NBA moved the schedule around last season.
Okay.
They're trying to avoid back-to-back, the number of back-to-back games and stuff like that, so they start at least a week earlier than they normally would.
Right, they've extended the season out a little bit. And so the All-Star break actually comes pretty late in the year. There's only 24 games to go. I mean, so you get back, and once they get back, these teams get back to you from the All-Star game, it's a sprint.
Yeah, for the playoffs.
You know, it's a sprint for the playoffs here. So looking back on the pre-All-Star break, we can't say first half when you've already played 58 games. So to the break here, we're asking you, and we're doing so on our Twitter, at 929thegame this morning, what grade, we're asking for a letter grade, do you give the Hawks at the All-Star break so far this season? What
grade on the curve. We've got a grade on the curve, and I'll probably give them a C. And the reason why I say that is because of the effort. It's been up and down all season long, but I think that's what you're going to get with a young squad, especially so many players that were in college last year, that they're already, like what, was it like 18 games past the regular game season or something like that? And then you have 25 more games to go, and you see the ebb and flow of the energy level that goes up and down from game to game with this team. Mm-hmm. I give them a C, and that's grading on the curve.
All right, you're a hoop guy, and you worked for the Hawks for how many years? Did you work for the Hawks, AT?
23
years with the Hawks. All right, so what grade do you give the Hawks here at the break?
I'm not going to let last night's game cloud my judgment because I was not happy with that performance, but I would probably have to say a C-plus right now.
And I'm going to be generous in front of you two guys. I'm going to give them a B. And the reason I give them a B is because I think a lot of people – let's go back to the beginning of the year, all right? Beginning of the year, what did we say for wins for this team?
It was like 18, 20, something like that.
Someone like say that. 21.
Yeah, well, they've got 19. And I know that's not great, but I said 28. They might actually get to 28. But it's not really about the number of wins so much. For me, Hugh, it's – even though last night Kevin Huerter put a zero on the board.
Mm-hmm. Goose egg.
John Collins had 8 points and one rebound. Probably, matter of fact, I would dare say his worst game since he came back from injury.
Or one of them.
Trae Young was 6 of 19 from the floor. It was just not.
Yeah, what, 16 points, though. I mean, he had his moments. He definitely – he drove the lane pretty good, like, a couple times last night. That when you look at that performance last night and what he was able to put together against LeBron, you can see him in spurts. He has to do better. There's no question about it. He has to do better.
So, but all in all, I think that you've seen the growth of Trae Young. You've seen Trae and John kind of grow alongside each other to the point where they're both in the Rising Stars game, and they're both a big part of All-Star Weekend. I think you've seen the growth of Kevin Huerter. I think the team has had big wins. We talk about the Philadelphia, Oklahoma City Clippers and Lakers and whatnot. I think they've had nice moments during the year. So, I'm all in all, I think that they've actually done better than I thought they would. I'll be honest. At the beginning of the year, I was a little concerned that they were going to be – when they were 6-23, I thought, oh, my God, what are they going to win 13 games this year? I mean, I thought they could be, you know, back to, you know, fighting that one team that you had to live through, Arthur. What was it like to be on a team that won 13 games?
Absolutely miserable. It wasn't fun, John. It really wasn't. And thank God our beat writer – at the time, Sekou Smith, who's now with NBA Digital, who we've had on the program, was there to kind of, at least during the games, take my mind off of what I was watching because it wasn't fun. I mean, it wasn't fun for the players going through it, even though it was a young, talented team that would eventually grow and get back to the playoffs. It wasn't fun for Mike Woodson. It was his first year. It was very similar to what Lloyd Pierce is going through right now. It was his first time ever as a head coach. And it wasn't fun for the fans.
Yeah, but comparing that team, that 13-win team, 13-69, to this team, this team is well ahead of that team, at least.
Well, but see, you got to remember, that was a much better Eastern Conference as well. You had a much better league than you do now. And so, yeah, this team has a better record, but that team we had then would demolish this team. So, in my opinion.
Man, that kind of killed it for you.
It kind of killed it for me. I don't know that I agree with that necessarily.
Well, let's see. Remember who you had on that team now?
I know.
You had Josh Smith, Josh Childress.
Right.
You had Antoine Walker. He was here. You had now you're going to make me call out this roster. I'm not going to remember all of those guys. But – like I said, the Eastern Conference, the NBA as a whole was much more talented then than it is now. I see, and those guys could jump through the gym. I mean, we tend to forget that Josh Smith was an exciting leaper.
Yes, he was.
Now, the 3-point shots aside, he did bring some excitement to each and every game. But Mike Bibby wasn't on that team yet. We were still trying to find a point guard. But no, that team would have beaten this team. No doubt in my mind.
And I think this is actually a pretty decent team. It gives you a lot of hope. The reason I give them a B more than anything else, Hugh, is I think that we now see – you can see the future with this club. You know, it's not like you're sitting here – it's not like they're a bad team that's treading in the wrong direction or doesn't know where it's going. I mean, we've seen teams, Hugh, in the past that are just bad and you don't know where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could probably see that right now in one NBA team, and that's Cleveland. Cleveland's just a bad team that doesn't know where it's going.
Yeah, and they got some veteran players. The reason why I give this team a C is because they're young professionals. They just most of the guys that you have on your team, the core group of your guys, a couple months ago, they were in college. They were in college, playing basketball in college. playing like one game a week or something like that for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking them to play NBA schedule and learn on the fly. That's why I gave them the C grade. I think that they've had their moments where they've played well, and they've had their moments where they look like they just left college.
Yeah, and individually, I think that Trae Young has impressed me a lot. He was Rookie of the Month last month for the Eastern Conference, and John Collins is off the chain. Taurean Prince, I need to see more. At the end of the year last year, I thought Taurean was as good as just about any guy in the league. He was playing so well. And where's that guy been? I know he had the injury. I get it. It is a Friday. We got a lot to chop up on this show today. We mentioned Deshaun Tate's going to talk college basketball in the 8 o'clock hour, Chip Carey in the 9 o'clock hour, Larry McReynolds from Fox in the 9 o'clock hour. Next up, Falcons. What are the Falcons going to do right now? Because they've made their first signing. We'll talk about that with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.